This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
I've been preparing for this all my life.
Here's Porter on Harden, taking him to school.
What a great play by Jayshon Tate.
KJ Martin climbed Boban Mountain.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
And you've seen tonight that we fought together, we stayed together, and it's about damn time, man.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Reckoning is finally upon us. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And if you enjoy what we do here, be sure to subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel, as well as wherever you listen to your podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for our Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Now, we are at a crossroads in Houston Rockets history, guys. It is going to be a fateful day now that the NBA draft lottery is finally upon us. I've been counting down the days, starting with day number 34, as we were 34 days out, started with none other than the great Hakeem Olajuwon. I wish I could say this was an Olajuwon jersey, but it's still pretty lucky because it's a Vernon Maxwell jersey. It's got his signature on the back. It's got his signature 11 down on the front. Can't even see it because I'm not going to stand up. So, but it's going to be a very, very trying day for a lot of Rockets fans. And I'm going to share some, you know, hopefully some good vibes in this show. I want to hammer home a very, very important point that I'd like to make. But first things first, right, is whatever your superstitions are, whatever you've got, if you've got a favorite jersey, if you've got a ritual that you do on game days, if you want to run outside and go find a four-leaf clover, go get a horseshoe. I hear that elephants are kind of lucky. What else do I have written down here? I've got a lot written down. What other good luck charms are there? Go find a shooting star, right? Just, you know, do whatever you got to do. Light a bunch of candles and pray to the basketball gods if you have to, because the Rockets and this pick and holding onto this pick, it isn't the absolute end of the world if it falls to number 5. It sucks. There's no changing that. It absolutely sucks. And that's going to be my point that I really want to hammer home in segment 2. But it's not the end of the world if they lose this pick, but it'd be great if they could get it, right? Because it really expedites this rebuilding process. It jumps them ahead, you know, by at least 2 to 3 years if they get this top 4 pick based on how good the top prospects are and the guys at the top end of this draft: Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and Jalen Green. So with that, the good vibes that I want to share a little bit of, right? And I brought these stats up before, but I feel like it's worth mentioning now that we're here again, the day of the draft lottery. So this segment, just about the good vibes. Hopefully there's some, you know, good karma out there for the Houston Rockets after what they dealt with this season. Segment 2, hammer home my big takeaway. And then segment 3, I want to kind of pivot just momentarily to kind of reflect on what's going on with the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers and the beloved, you know, James Harden, Daryl Morey situations in those respective organizations. But let's just go really quick. And first, just want to share, the Rockets ended their season 17-55, right? This was only the third time in franchise history that they finished with less than 27 wins in a season. The other two times that they finished with records worse than this one, 1967-68, and then again in 1982-83, both times the Rockets walked away with number one overall picks. So is this like going to be the third time that it happens, or is it time for the Rockets to be disappointed when they have a bad record? Kind of TBD, but I'm leaning more. I want to be cautiously optimistic heading into this draft lottery night, because I think we need to be manifesting good vibes going in, and I'm not going to even entertain the idea of the pick falling to number 5. But the other times. So basically, you know, there have been a handful of times that the Rockets have had seasons where they've fallen below 30 wins. It's actually happened exactly six times. And four of those resulted in number one overall selection. So you had Elvin Hayes, Ralph Sampson, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Yao Ming. Then they had one number two overall selection that happened to be Rudy T, another great all-time Rocket player and coach. And then the very last one, 1977 to 78, their pick actually belonged to the New York Knicks, but it still fell at number four overall. Now, granted, all of these selections that I just read off took place before the revamped draft lottery, you know, the revamped draft lottery that is to de-incentivize the tanking that became so prevalent in this league. Shout out to the process Sixers for absolutely bottoming out, you know, each and every year trying to cultivate high prospects and, you know, high draft picks and really just rebuild through the process of actively, you know, actively tanking, not the organic tanking that we've talked about at Locked On Rockets, which is essentially what happened to the Rockets this season, where frankly, just through the combination of injuries and trades and all the stuff that they dealt with this past season, they just naturally weren't that good. And they fell short a lot of games because of that. So they were just naturally the worst record in the NBA. So that's a different process than actively rolling out like a squad of G Leaguers and, you know, purposely tanking games on a nightly basis to try and finish with the worst record in the NBA. So the Rockets have a 52.1% chance to hold on to this year's draft pick. And hopefully history will repeat itself in the sense that this is now the seventh time the Rockets have finished with under 30 wins in a calendar year. Hopefully that translates to the fact that they will, at this point, Cade Cunningham would be awesome. He would. He would be franchise, you know, he would be a revelation for this Rockets franchise, especially having just departed from one franchise guy in James Harden, who was here for almost the better part of the last decade. It would be phenomenal to just to go from that and then not even a full calendar year later to have what is more than likely would more than likely be your new franchise guy in Cade Cunningham. Look, I love Kevin Porter Jr. I love Christian Wood, but Cade Cunningham has the makings of being a franchise guy right out of the gate. He's the full package, right? But I'm not even that hung up on Cade Cunningham. Just be happy with a top four pick. That's kind of the mentality that I'm going into this selection with. And it's the mentality that I think you should go into this selection with. So with that coming up, I do want to talk about my big takeaway from this draft lottery and how to kind of handle the reaction if it doesn't go our way. But first, we've got our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, who has to be none other than Hakeem Olajuwon. Because look, Hakeem Olajuwon is hands down the greatest Rocket of all time. He's an absolute Rockets legend. And it just so happens that on June 22nd, 1994, the Houston Rockets won their first championship by beating the Knicks in Game 7. And now on the 27th anniversary of that night, Hakeem will be representing the Rockets at the NBA Draft Lottery on June 22nd, 2021. So hopefully, 27 years apart, these can be remembered as separate occasions that spark joy, happiness, excitement among Rockets fans. Because look, again, the Rockets have a 52.1% chance at retaining their pick because of the pick swap with the Oklahoma City Thunder. That number is a little scary. You know what numbers aren't scary? Michelob Ultra, only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. So look, just go into it with some good vibes, crack open a Michelob Ultra, relax, watch the draft lottery. It's going to take place at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. And, you know, look, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? You, me, Hakeem, and the Rockets, everybody in Houston will certainly be happy if the Dream walks out of the NBA draft lottery with a top four pick, if he's the good luck charm that brings that, you know, that good energy, the good vibes for the Houston Rockets. And that is why he is your Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Another message from our friends over at Credit Karma. Now, Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help even more with a Credit Karma Money Spend account where you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant Karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5. $1,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added to your spend account. So right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning Instant Karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning your Instant Karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See the rules. Banking services provided by MVP Bank, INC, member FDIC, maximum balance and transfer limits apply. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about this fateful day in Rockets history. And look, I've been kind of mentally preparing myself for this for a while now, and this was a mental exercise that I've illustrated before, but now that we are finally at the day of reckoning, I think it's important to bring this point back up. And look, you can disagree with me. That's totally fine. If you do disagree with me, tell me, right? Yell at me on Twitter. Comment on the YouTube page. But this is my mindset going in, and it's been my mindset for a minute. And it's kind of come from a collective of different sources, Andrew Sukup, Ben DuBose, you know, and I think that I've kind of combined these ideologies of how to feel about going into this draft lottery. And that is, again, it's important to remember that the Rockets essentially gave up control of this pick when they traded the pick away in the Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook swap. So this is an opportunity where the Rockets were able to pivot. This NBA season, because of how poorly it went, they tried to compete. The Victor Oladipo project didn't work out. Christian Wood gets injured. The team derails. They just weren't good. So they had this opportunity to pivot, and now they have a coin flip chance at reclaiming this pick, the pick that they stupidly gave away in the Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook trade by way of a pick swap. So they have a 52.1% chance to reclaim this pick. And if you go at it with that mindset, I think it helps alleviate some of the idea that it's their pick and they're losing it. No, they already lost the pick. They gave up the pick. This is their chance to take it back. Not only that, but this is the other really important part. This pick swap cannot make you lose out on a top four pick. I'm going to say that again. This pick swap cannot make you lose out on a top four pick. So to just extrapolate on that a little bit, right? If the Rockets land at number five and the pick swap didn't exist, they would still just be at number five, which for all intents and purposes means Jonathan Kuminga, more than likely, right? So the pick swap doesn't knock you down any places. The pick swap doesn't affect the percentage chances of landing at number one or number two or number three or number four. All it changes is what happens if the pick falls to number five. So the drop isn't from Cade Cunningham all the way down to pick number 18 or Evan Mobley to pick number 18. No, that's not how it works, right? If the pick falls at number five, which again is presumably going to be Jonathan Kuminga. If it's not Jonathan Kuminga, and if there's Jalen Green or Suggs falls to number five for whatever reason, then I will circle back on this take and I will say, yeah, that kind of burns a little bit, because if there's another team ahead of you or ahead of where the Rockets would have been at pick number five that makes a stupid decision, then yeah, I can see being a bit more upset about this. But operating under the assumption that those other four guys are going to go ahead of Kuminga and that Kuminga falls down to number five, you essentially only lose out on Jonathan Kuminga at number five, and then you go all the way down to number 18. And for me, originally going into this draft and kind of building up to it, I had kind of had everybody segmented in a few different tiers. I had Cade, you know, very much in his own tier. Then I had the next four guys, Then I had the next two guys in their own tier in Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and then I had Green and Kuminga in their own tier. And then I had everybody else. I've since kind of come around a little bit more so on Jalen Green. Still not super high on him, but at least not as high as the other two guys that I have ahead of him in Mobley and Suggs. But I do kind of put those three guys in their own tier now. So it's Cade, those three guys, and then Kuminga kind of in his own tier at that number five spot. And then there's everybody else. But to me, the distance between Kuminga and some of the other prospects that are going to land anywhere from 6 through 20 in this draft, the gap isn't that wide. The ceiling is really high for Jonathan Kuminga, absolutely. But as so many other mock experts and draft analysts have put it, the floor for Kuminga is in the basement. I'm pretty sure that was Richard who said that on this very podcast at Mavs Draft on Twitter. And I love that statement, that expression, because it really illustrates how low the floor is for Kuminga and how like he could be out of the league within a few years if some of the skills don't translate, if he doesn't, you know, refine certain elements of his game. So I'm not as upset about the idea of losing out on a Jonathan Kuminga as I was previously. And I think if you go into the NBA draft lottery with this type of mentality, you'll feel a little bit better based on whatever the outcome may be. Now, a quick refresher on how the NBA draft lottery works is it's going to tee up at about 7:30 Central Time. There will be some, you know, some niceties, some introductions, you know, running through the reps from each team. And then they're going to do the draw. Now, the draw is going to happen in rapid fire succession. So it's going to start with pick number 14, and it's going to go all the way through pick number 5. And then there's going to be a commercial break before they come back and do picks 1 through 4. So here's the good news for Rockets fans. And quick plug, I'm going to be doing some type of a live stream for Locked On. So I'm sure I'll start yelling about it on Twitter, you know, well before we actually go live. But if you want to have the draft on your TV and then have your phone pulled up and watch my real-time reaction to the news as to whether or not the Rockets will keep their pick or have to forfeit it to OKC, be sure to check it out. I'm sure it's going to be all kinds of fun. Fingers crossed it doesn't suck. But there's going to be this kind of this moment where as long as the Rockets logo does not show up when you go from picks 14 to 5 somewhere, as long as it doesn't show up at pick number 5, because that's the lowest it can be. It can only show up at pick number 5. Now, there's a few others in there where, like, if you see, say, the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, don't show up down there, or if you don't see, you know, if you see, if some of the other spots that are, like, already lined up, like some of the lower percentage chance teams, like, again, the Pelicans, the Magic with their pick, the Magic have the Chicago Bulls pick, my bad on that one. The Kings is another one, right? If those teams don't slot into their preordained position, if they, you know, if the Kings don't show up at number 10 overall, or if the Pelicans don't show up at, what is it, number 8 overall, wherever they're slotted in at, I haven't paid attention to the other teams as much as the Rockets for obvious reasons. I could have, you know what, I could probably just pull up a Tankathon sim. Didn't have the Tankathon sim pulled up. That's on me. Apologize, guys. So yeah. So Sacramento at number 9, I apologize. New Orleans at number 10, Charlotte at number 11. Those teams near the back end of the lottery, if say Charlotte doesn't show up at number 11, then you know that Charlotte has jumped up a few spaces. And anytime a team jumps up in the draft lottery, it's not good news for the Rockets, because it means that one of those teams might have the chance to jump all the way up into a top 4 spot, which reduces the opportunity for the Rockets to retain their pick in one of those top 4 places. But again, it's going to happen in pretty rapid fire succession, and we will know before that suspenseful commercial break whether or not the Rockets actually keep their top 5 pick. Sorry, top 4 pick. It's a top 5 pick regardless. But that moment, that final draw at number 5 is going to be probably the longest like few seconds of my life waiting for that pick to be unveiled. And that subsequent commercial break is going to be must-watch TV on my end, because if the Rockets' name is pulled at number 5, I'm going to try not to have a meltdown live on stream or some type of a mental breakdown, but I might. And I'm sure that collectively Rockets fans everywhere will be suffering from some type of breakdown if they land at number 5. But if the Rockets logo does not appear before that commercial break, we know, and you can breathe a deep sigh of relief, because it means that their pick did fall in the top 4 and that they will be getting a chance at one of the top 4 prospects. And hey, we're going to be manifesting Cade Cunningham. I try to tell myself I'm not going to get greedy, but I'm going to get a little greedy. I want Cade Cunningham. I'd love just a top 4 pick, but I also really, really especially want Cade Cunningham, because again, he is a franchise transforming star, and I think he's going to be a big time player in this league. So with that coming up, I do want to talk a little bit about the kind of, it's not ironic, but just the funny situations going on over in Brooklyn as well as Philadelphia. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. Now, look, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. We've had baseball season in full swing for a minute now. NBA playoffs are going strong. BetOnline also has NHL, UFC, MMA, you name it, they have it over at BetOnline. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. It's time for you to get in on the action, and you can do that with BetOnline and use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And I've got one more message from our friends over at rockauto.com, because look, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models and different car types and brands and specifications, it's basically impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the different parts that you need. Rockauto.com has everything that you need, and the best part is their prices are always competitive. They don't change their prices between like professionals and DIY guys, which isn't fair to begin with. You know, why would you want to spend, 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same parts? Rock Auto, it's a family-owned business, and they've been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Their website is super easy to navigate, really intuitive. You can quickly find all the parts that you need for your car. They've got engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, brand new carpet. You name it, they probably have it. So head over to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and be sure, this is the really important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Preparing mentally, physically, spiritually for this NBA draft lottery, this important day in Rockets history. And I think I've kind of aired out all my feelings toward this because we're really kind of at this, stalemate. Really, with the Rockets offseason, where this is that domino that we've been waiting to fall for so long now. And once this domino falls, we will know truly what direction this franchise is able to go. We'll understand, okay, which targets need to be focused on in the draft. You know, I've tried my best to do some miscellaneous draft prep here and there, looking at some potential late first round targets, tried to cover my bases with the top prospects, haven't quite hit on the guys in that 6 through 15 range yet, but those are going to be some of the guys that we visit here shortly, just to kind of re-up on those in case the Rockets trade up, that kind of thing. But you know, it's just been kind of trying to take some spaghetti and throw it at the wall and just see what sticks, because we've just been kind of speculating. And now that this day is finally upon us, we will finally have a clear direction for what, you know, where this franchise is headed over the next couple of years based on where this pick falls. But with that, I do want to reflect for a quick moment. And first off, how do I want to phrase this? I wasn't actively rooting against James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets. And I think that had the Nets been fully healthy, they were easily the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference. I feel like they would have blown the doors off the Milwaukee Bucks in 5 games if they had a healthy James Harden and a healthy Kyrie Irving. But that's just not the way it played out this season. And I can't help but think that there's a little bit of irony there in that James Harden forces his way out of Houston and comes up short in the second round of the playoffs elsewhere. Like, again, I'm not begrudging him for it. I'm over the James Harden thing. Had he won a title, great. I would have been very happy for him. And I was not, actively cheering for the Nets. I would have liked to have seen them kind of come out of the East. I would have liked to see a Nets Suns finals. But man, it just goes to show you that nothing is guaranteed in the NBA. And above all else, this was the point that I tried to make when the trade originally happened, is that James Harden forced his way out of Houston for something that wasn't guaranteed, right? When Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City and joined the Golden State Warriors, they were already a juggernaut. They already won an insane amount of games. They were already a championship caliber team. So he was joining a ready-made cookie cutter, like championship caliber team. And this, you know, James Harden forcing his way to Houston didn't quite get a proper training camp, like, you know, had to play the first 9 games as a Houston Rocket. It was such a messy situation from top to bottom, and it wasn't for a guaranteed thing. Like, just because Harden forces his way to the Nets, it didn't mean that they were guaranteed a title. Were they heavy favorites? Probably. And had they been healthy? Sure. They would have probably been heavy favorites to walk away with a title this season. But there were too many other variables at play. The COVID season, injuries, the stacked second half schedule, all of that played against the Nets. And ultimately, the Nets coming short this season, and now I'm going to be actively rooting for their failure next season, is the best case scenario for the Houston Rockets. And there's going to be some Rockets fans that don't want to hear that, because there's some Rockets fans that are still absolute loyalists to James Harden. And look, I don't begrudge you for being loyal to James Harden. The man brought 8 years of basketball excellence to the city of Houston. He put Houston back on the map. I have no qualms with James Harden, but I'm a Houston Rockets fan first and foremost. I cover this team full time. I want to see the Rockets have the best possible chances at getting back on a championship track sooner rather than later. And for that to happen, the Brooklyn Nets imploding sooner rather than later is best case scenario for the Rockets. Because if they come up short again next year, there's a very high likelihood that Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden potentially decide, or 1, 2, maybe all 3, decide that they want to opt out of their respective deals and, you know, pursue opportunities elsewhere. Hell, maybe Kyrie Irving decides to just stop playing basketball altogether and focus on, you know, societal issues and things that he's got going on outside of basketball. He's been, you know, very vocal about the things that are happening in society, and maybe that's something that he wants to spend more time doing rather than continuing to play basketball. Maybe KD and James Harden want to check out some other teams elsewhere, right? Who knows? Maybe they just say screw it and they decide to all opt in for one more final run at it, one more final season before each trying to secure their, you know, their long-term final contracts. But to me, the two best case scenarios were option one, the Nets win the title this year and then come up short next season, or option two, the Nets fail both years back to back, because I think that either of those options, you know, if they win the first year, come up short the second year, okay, you know, we got our one title, we came up short the second year, we, you know, our window is closed, let's, you know, cut our losses while we're ahead, let's go our separate ways. Same sort of mentality, but with if they lose back-to-back years, I don't think that's going to suddenly light a fire under Durant and Harden. They're like, yeah, we got to re-up on this final year and this third year together. This is our time. We're finally going to get it. No, I think if anything, if they come up short 2 years in a row, and if the Eastern Conference is, you know, looking pretty healthy as far as competition goes, with Embiid and the 76ers and Giannis and the Bucks, and hopefully the, you know, maybe the Boston Celtics get their situation figured out with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, right? You know, there's teams out there, the Atlanta Hawks, who are obviously on the come up and, you know, have a very young, exciting core and going to be around for a solid minute, right? If things are looking a little bleak for them to do anything that third season, then why wouldn't they opt out and pursue other opportunities elsewhere? So again, I think this was honestly the best case scenario for the Houston Rockets. And again, I feel for James Harden a little bit, because I think this was probably his best chance to win a title this season. No LeBron James in the postseason, having been eliminated early on by the Phoenix Suns, you know, so we'll see how things pan out next season. But I think that's just, you know, it's just kind of funny how things work out like that. And then quick flash to the Philadelphia 76ers, Daryl Morey's new baby over there. What a meltdown. And this just, all it does is reinforce the fact that thank God Ben Simmons is not a Houston Rocket, because that moment in Game 7, where if you didn't see Game 7, there was a moment in Game 7 where Ben Simmons was positioned directly under the basket and had a wide open dunk / layup. The only guy within any distance of him was Trae Young. And Ben Simmons passed the ball off to Matisse Thybulle, who then, you know, tried to go up for a contested layup, got fouled, and went 1-for-2 at the free throw line. I can't wrap my head around it. And, you know, the idea that, you know, executives or that, you know, the 76ers are trying to sell him as this, you know, supercharged Draymond Green or something, right? No, he's not. Like, Draymond is a supercharged Draymond Green. You know, Ben Simmons is almost like the antithesis of Draymond Green on a basketball court because he's so nonchalant and, you know, isn't intense whatsoever. It doesn't look like he wants to be out there. It doesn't look like basketball is his love, right? I mean, I don't know. He doesn't look like he lives and breathes basketball. I can't wrap my head around that play that he made to pass up a wide open shot to have only attempted, what was it, like four shots, six shots, whatever. I mean, it's just the idea that there are still some people out there that really think the Rockets should have taken the Ben Simmons package. Those people are beyond helping, because I am excited at the package that the Rockets got for James Harden. I still think that we would have been happier had there been a cornerstone type player involved in that trade. But the fact of the matter was, there was no package on the table that was better than the Brooklyn Nets offer. And you can maybe point to the Caris LeVert thing and say, well, they should have kept Caris LeVert. No, because then they'd be tied up with Caris LeVert's contract. They'd have to potentially move on from him further down the line. There's just no Jared Allen. No, he's going to get paid this summer. And the Rockets didn't want to be the guys to pay him. I'm happy with the moves that Rafael Stone has made, and I'm confident in him to continue making good moves for this franchise moving forward. We just got to get that very first domino out of the way with this NBA draft lottery. So with me now, let's just pray to the basketball gods. Dear basketball gods, please let the Rockets retain a top four pick in this year's NBA draft. The Rockets deserve it. Rafael Stone deserves it. The fans deserve it. I'm not going to say I deserve it. That's greedy. But above all else, the person who deserves it the absolute most is Steven Silas. Amen. Steven Silas absolutely deserves the top four pick this season for the hell that he went through from the moment he was designated the Rockets head coach, all the offseason drama, losing two MVP caliber guards, going through a ridiculous COVID-filled season, all of that, 17-55, seeing how dejected he was during the 20-game losing streak, I want Steven Silas to be able to have a top four prospect to work with, to mold, to grow, because he's worked with LeBron James. He's worked with Steph Curry. He's worked with Luka Doncic. He worked with Kevin Porter Jr. and Christian Wood and Jayshon Tate and KJ Martin. And look at how good those guys are. If there was one takeaway from Steven Silas's coaching this past season, it was that he knows how to develop talent. It's that he knows how to get the most out of his young guys, and that they fight for him. They play hard. And so I want him to have a fair shot at a healthy season, no COVID protocols, no injuries, we'll say no, minimal injuries, and another top prospect to pair with his already exciting young Houston Rockets core. So hopefully it goes the Rockets' way. Bring all the good vibes, bring all the good energy. But for today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching, for listening. Do me a favor, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Himalaya, the brand new Odyssey app, wherever you listen, wherever you watch, hit that subscribe button. But for today's show, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, for watching, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.